Have you ever had it and then lost it? You had it and then lost it. Ever experienced that? It was right there. It was right there in your handbag or your pocket. You were holding on to it and now it's gone. Lost forever. Your phone, your keys, your hopes and dreams, lost forever. Back in high school, I was traveling home with my saxophone in hand like I did twice a week. Walk from school, get on the train, off the train, switch platforms, get on another train, walk to the bus, catch the bus, walk home. It was quite a long journey. It was quite a journey to cover the roughly 4 kilometers distance as the crow flies between my house and school, but 2 trains, a bus, and a bit of walking. Somewhere though, between the school gate and my front door, somewhere between those two places, the saxophone was gone. I had it, and then I lost it. Now, after some soul searching, I worked out that I left it on train number 2, and so it ended up in the city, and thankfully someone handed it in. Now, having something and then losing it, something valuable, losing it, in some ways that's harder to deal with than never having had it in the first place. In Lamentations 5 that Brad just read for us, the Israelites lament a loss. They had joy, and now it is gone. They had a crown, and now it is fallen. And so it speaks to us. It speaks to us in our moments of loss and failure. It speaks a comforting message to our broken hearts. It's going to take us a few minutes to get there, though. So Lamentations 5 is 22 verses of grief and sorrow and pain, a loss of hope. And even when hope surfaces in verses 19 to 21, did you see it there for a moment? There's still an apparent air of resignation, defeat, and despair. 22 verses of lament. And if you've noticed, each chapter of Lamentations has been 22 verses, or 3 times 22 in the case of chapter 3. There's a pattern to it. There's a rhythm to it. Each chapter is an acrostic poem, one verse or stanza for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There are 22 letters, hence the 22 verses. Now, it seems odd to me. Seems odd to me to choose an acrostic poem, because when I think of acrostic poems, I think of primary school and trying to make some, get the letters of your name or the topic you're studying, and then you try and manufacture some kind of coherent content, a little statement, and they're all a bit of a joke. Who would pick an acrostic poem to express lament? Who would? I would, so I thought I'd give it a go. Well, in fact, I thought I'd give an artificial intelligence bot on the internet a go, the task of writing an acrostic lament poem for me. There's a website called ChatGPT. It's been all over the news and social media recently. And essentially, you ask a computer program a question. You ask a question and it interacts with you in a conversational way. So I thought I'd give it a go. Here's my opening statement. Can you write an acrostic poem for Rodney in the style of a Hebrew lament from the Bible? Here is its reply. Rage and sorrow fill my heart. Oh, how I mourn for the loss of my friend. Departure has left me empty, not a single comfort to be found. Eyes swollen from tears and grief, yearning for your presence once more. Nailed the acrostic, I have to say. And it nailed the lament. But not only did it generate it instantly, it also gave me a little bit of a lecture along the way. Underneath the acrostic poem was a note. The note was, the Book of Lamentations is written in Hebrew poetry, and it is a collection of lament poetry, which expresses grief, pain, and mourning over the destruction of Jerusalem. It's not a specific style of acrostic poetry, but a specific style of poetry in general. All right, thank you for the correction. Fair call. But I had a question. I had a question for it, because there were actually two lines of the acrostic. I didn't read the second line, but there were two lines of the acrostic that began with N. It went R-O-D-N-E-Y-N. I checked that I hadn't made a typo in the question, so I thought I'd just ask it, why are there two lines beginning with N? Here's the response. I apologize. That was an error on my part. The second line starting with N should not have been included in the acrostic poem. It was an unintentional oversight, and I apologize for any confusion it may have caused. It's very polite. It's very good. And so I thought, well, let's take this a step further. I asked it to write me a sermon on Lamentations 5. And it did. Literally, you watch it typing away, away it went. And reading through, I thought, it's a little bit dry, actually, what they've come up for me. So it needed a story. So I asked it, can you include a story? And so it added an illustration for one of the points that it had made and then tied it back into the conclusion, which I thought was quite clever of it to do that. And so I thought, okay, this all must be a little bit fake. They've just searched the internet and found something. So I copied the text that it had given me, put it into Google, and it didn't find anything. This wasn't a copy-paste from somewhere else on the internet. It wrote its own sermon in a matter of seconds and then adapted it when I asked it to do better. I'm not kidding. This was our exact conversation, almost instantaneous. No waiting for them to get back to you the next day. No thinking time. And now before you freak out that computers are about to take over the world, it's just a chatbot at this point. But the possibilities are immense. Wait for next week's sermon. But just to clarify, this is not...
I'm preaching next week. I
preach
my own sermon.
Yes. This is not the sermon that it gave me. I need to clarify that. Anyway, the point that I was trying to illustrate before I went a little bit off on a tangent is that Lamentations is a series of acrostic laments. It's not a rant. It's not just some words off the cuff. It's not the work of some AI bot on the internet. And you can imagine that it was measured, considered. The book took time to piece together. Jeremiah, the most likely author, labored over it to pick the right words to express what was happening, what they were feeling, what God was saying. And so after four chapters of acrostic poems, well, chapter 5 is 22 verses again, but it's not acrostic. It has a different flavor to the others, a bit more of a prayer than a general lament, perhaps more spontaneous, a bit more personal than the stylized arrangement of the previous acrostics. And you could summarize it as a cry for mercy in verses 1 to 14. And then an acknowledgement of sin, verses 15 to 18. And then a plea for restoration, verses 19 to 22. A cry for mercy, an acknowledgement of sin, and then a plea for restoration. Jeremiah directs his prayer to God who remembers. Remember, he cries. Remember what has happened to us. Look and see our disgrace. Remember what has gone before. Think of us. Look and see our current state. Be near us. Of course, God knew what had happened, but did he still care? And so Jeremiah weaves together the history with their current scene, and their inheritance is gone.